The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies' magazines. And let's begin with this one from Real Simple. This is the Modern Manners column. Real Simple's etiquette expert, Catherine Newman, offers her best advice on your social quandaries. First up, JC asks, our neighbor's cat is allowed outside their home, and one day he started sitting on our porch. Fast forward to now, he spends most days inside our house, hanging out with our cats. We've grown to love him, but we wonder whether we should discuss this with our neighbors. We don't want them to feel like we're stealing their cat, but we do want him to get the love and company he seems to crave. How should we handle this situation? Answer, I was delighted by your question, as I was expecting it to head into more traditional aggrieved neighbor territory. But you love your feline interloper. You just don't want to be perceived as catnappers. Fair enough. It is a delicate situation, since you want to imply neither that your neighbors are neglectful, nor that the cat is causing trouble. They could conclude that he's a nuisance and shut him indoors. Can you be semi-transparent? Try blaming the cats. You may have noticed that your cat spends a lot of time at our house because he loves our cats. Is that okay? We love having him, but we don't want to overstep. Maybe it will turn out that they've grown allergic, or they inherited him and hate cats. Take him, they'll say, or maybe they're simply happy with the current arrangement and will be relieved to know that you're happy too. L.S. asks, my husband and I don't want kids for reasons other people don't always agree with or understand. I usually prefer not to discuss it. When people ask whether we're planning to have a family, how can I respond kindly while ending the conversation immediately? The presumption of many people regarding children, which is that everyone should have them, can range from merely annoying to deeply upsetting, especially if the subject hits someone in a tender spot. While your acquaintances might imagine they're expressing benign interest rather than agenda, you're stuck defending or explaining a personal decision that is none of their business and that you do not need to defend or explain. I know you're just curious, but I'd rather not discuss it, you can say with polite clarity, then change the subject. Go ahead and ask me about my promotion at work, though. I'd love to tell you about it. Anyone who continues to press the point is being rude, and if you need to shut down the conversation more forcefully, like I said, this is a private matter, feel free. DC asks, it really bugs me when strangers invade my space, particularly when we're standing in line. I often move forward, but typically the person behind me just moves along with me. On rare occasions, I've politely asked the person not to stand so close, but I've been met with a rude comeback or annoyed look. What can I say that won't offend but will get me some breathing room? Answer, when it comes to personal space, people's comfort zones can differ widely thanks to cultural values and our own wiring. For example, I was recently shimmying happily at Zumba class, only to be hissed at by a person who felt I had boogied into her space. I apologized and moved away. Remember that these invading people are not wrong to need less space, just as you are not wrong to need more. I would use your basket or a tote bag to create a buffer behind you. If you need to say something, simply ask politely and own it. I have personal space issues. I'm sorry, but would you mind taking a step back? Though if we're talking about a sexually menacing person, I would put up a flat palm and say, two steps back. End of story. J.M. asks, my husband and I are in a much lower social class than most of our friends who are wealthy. We want to continue taking part in the many occasions that arise without sharing our challenging financial situation. But things like buying wedding gifts or making a meal for a new mother or a friend whose relative has passed are so difficult when it's already hard to cover our own expenses. How do you financially survive when mixing with people in a different class? Answer, money struggles are enormously taxing. Your friends clearly crave your company despite the fact that you may not have a lot to offer materially, and despite how it might actually make you feel to move in this luxurious social circle. Put aside the issue of what you're bringing to the table. These wealthy folks don't really need anything from you, and you can redirect your contributions from stuff to support. A loving condolence note, a walk in the park with a new mother who needs to get out of the house. As for gifts, there are lots of thrift-oriented websites and library books that can help you turn a $5 picture frame or baby onesie into a lovely present. You can also skip the gift in favor of a heartfelt letter, and your friends won't feel the absence. Or they'll wonder about your finances and wisely conclude that not everyone is as flush as they are. Next from Redbook, what doctors tell their friends about anxiety. Life happens, often bringing with it a whole lot of stress that can do a number on your health. These experts explain how to deal, plus the best ways to zen out. First, you can stop stress from spiraling. When you're anxious, chemicals like epinephrine and cortisol are released into your bloodstream and nervous system. It's your body's alert mode, and we're biologically programmed to take threats to our survival very seriously. That stress response can be truly disabling. A friend's laughter, for instance, was so anxious she could... Daughter, for instance, was so anxious she couldn't go to school. I tell friends that anxiety is always about the future. You might fear losing someone you love or that you won't be able to pay a bill. A little worry can be good. It can motivate you to take action. But when you overthink, it can quickly cause anxiety to spiral out of control. That was Charles Raisin, M.D., professor of psychiatry and director of School of Human Ecology at the University of Wisconsin and CNN's mental health expert. What you can do when you're feeling anxious, ask yourself two questions. Am I going to die? And how bad are things really? The answer to the first one will almost certainly be no, Dr. Raisin says. And realizing that you are safe and that you will survive can help put things in perspective. In fact, there's evidence that asking yourself these questions can lower your cardiac and nervous system's response to stress, Dr. Raisin says. Then you can brainstorm solutions. Let's say an unexpected bill has revved you up. You can calmly think of ways to bring in cash. When you learn to control your anxiety, your thoughts work to serve you a whole lot better, he adds. Next, listen to your gut. The first sign of anxiety can be a physical one. I treated a woman recently who told me she was having pain in her belly. I pointed out to her that according to my notes, she had described similar discomfort years before during a difficult time. A light went on for her, and she realized that over the years she had tended to feel stress in her gut. The millions of nerves in the GI tract are in two-way communication with the brain. Also, the bacteria in the gut play a major role interacting with the brain and producing substances such as hormones, neurotransmitters, and toxins that can cause a variety of gastrointestinal symptoms. That was John LaPook, M.D., chief medical correspondent for CBS News and Mebane professor of gastroenterology at NYU Langone Health in New York City. What you can do... Some people find their stomachs hurt or get upset when they're stressed. So the next time you're feeling anxious, pay attention to any physical discomfort, says Dr. LaPook, whether it's tummy pain or tense shoulders. Then try this exercise. Sit quietly, then tense and release each muscle, working from head to toe. The patient above listened to her body and is feeling much better now, he says. Next, deep breathing really calms you down. I teach deep breathing to my patients with lung disease so they can avoid the anxiety that accompanies difficulty breathing. I had one patient with pretty severe asthma. It also quickly became very apparent that stress she was experiencing at home was causing her anxiety. She had difficulty managing hip pain in addition to her lung disease, and she was also dealing with family issues. She was panicking, so her heart and respiratory rates would go up, affecting her already compromised ability to breathe. If you can slow your breathing down, you'll relax immediately. And that was Sukarita Kher, M.D., pulmonologist and director of the Outpatient Pulmonary Clinic at Tufts Medical Center in Boston. What you can do? Breathe in through your nose, then purse your lips and breathe out slowly, says Dr. Kher. I call it smell the rose, blow the candle. Next, how to know if it's a more serious problem. Women ask me, how can you distinguish everyday stress from the kind of chronic anxiety that merits treatment? I explain that true generalized anxiety disorder, or GAD, is characterized by persistent and excessive worry that about a number of different things, even when there is no apparent reason for concern, not one stressful event or situation. GAD is diagnosed when you find it difficult to control your worry on more days than not for at least 6 months, and you have three or more of the following symptoms: feeling nervous, irritable or on edge, having a sense of impending danger, panic or doom, having an increased heart rate, hyperventilating, sweating and or trembling, feeling weak or tired, difficulty concentrating, trouble breathing, trouble sleeping, and gastrointestinal problems. And that by Pari Godisi, MD, a fellow at the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology practicing in Los Angeles. What you can do? See your doctor if you think you might have GAD. There are very effective treatments available, including cognitive behavior therapy, which can help you change stressful thinking patterns. Also, medication can help regulate the level of the chemical serotonin in your brain, which may lessen symptoms. And last, you don't just need to suck it up. I recently lost my dad quite suddenly, and I can relate to people feeling like they need to hold it all together. But it's not healthy to push feelings down and just keep going. As a cardiologist, I know chronic emotional stress is hard on your health. It elevates blood pressure and heart rate and can cause inflammation in the body, which can raise chances of a heart attack or stroke. To minimize the effects of long-term stress, it's important that you find healthy mechanisms to cope with stress that work for you. And that was Aaron D. Michos, MD, Associate Director of Preventive Cardiology at Johns Hopkins School of Medicine in Baltimore. What you can do? Start by getting some daily exercise. I find that running really relaxes me, says Dr. Michos. I also meet up with my friends regularly, and we talk about what's stressing us and what's really helped me deal with losing my dad. Thinking positively and finding a sense of purpose can also lower anxiety levels and decrease heart disease risk. And talk to your doctor, who can point you toward resources like a support group. Next, from Real Simple, your ideal decluttering routine. A few tasks need to be done regularly to ensure your home stays organized and clean. Here's what to do and how often. Once a day, sort the mail. It's easy to let it pile up, and that's how important bills, cards, and invitations get lost in the shuffle. Plus, it's always less painful to go through a daily pile than do a weekly sweep. Clear off the coffee table. When it's free of clutter, you'll be able to enjoy movie night and just Tuesday night even more. Clear off the countertop. Not only will you love the look, but putting together your next meal will also be a total breeze because the first step won't involve finding homes for loose mail and your garlic press. Wipe down the sink hardware. A sparkling faucet has the magical ability to make the rest of the bathroom appear bright and clean, too. Put toys back in their bins. Middle-of-the-night check-ins can become downright dangerous when Legos are dotting the floor. Always make sure there's enough room in the garage to, you know, park your car. When garages get cluttered, they lose their original purpose. Take 5 minutes at the end of each day to clear out items that don't belong in the rooms you use daily. Laptops, homework, and school projects all get the boot back to their proper homes. Mom was right. Make your bed. It's the easiest way to feel put together in the morning, and some research has shown that people who make their beds may be happier than those who let the sheets lie where they may. Once a month, here are some things. Take an hour or two to tidy up your closet and edit out pieces you no longer need, then donate them or resell the good stuff. And give your desk drawer once over. Bring the hair ties upstairs to the bathroom, put the paper clips back in their proper slot, and toss anything you realistically won't use, such as expired coupons and extra buttons. Move older files to a box in a cabinet or closet. Once a season, go through your laundry product stash to see what needs to be replaced or refilled. Stain sticks can dry up, and detergent in almost empty bottles can be transferred to a new one. Make a habit of sorting through kids' clothes three times a year, early spring, back to school, and after the holidays. If there's a sentimental dress or onesie you can't bear to send to Goodwill, pin it into a shadow box as fashionable art. And last, keep the garage functional and timely. When it's summer, make the camping equipment accessible on lower shelves and move skis and poles to upper shelves. A switcheroo twice a year will save you time as you pack the car for a weekend campout with friends. Last, once a year, look at older paper files in your home office and shred anything that's no longer relevant. From Good Housekeeping, newsflash, wellness, need-to-know nutrition, medical and fitness findings to help you feel flat-out fantastic. Lots of these, there's a bunch of little items. They are in no way related to each other. First, spotlight on vitamin D. There's growing evidence that too little vitamin D is linked to chronic headaches and perhaps also migraines. Some research even indicates a connection between low D levels and breast cancer. But before taking supplements, get your levels tested by your doctor, says Margarita Rohr, MD, clinical instructor of general internal medicine at NYU Langone Medical Center. Taking too much of the vitamin can lead to nausea and vomiting. Eat to beat the pain. Dietary changes alone won't erase a migraine or other headache, but certain foods can help prevent and treat it. Most foods that are good for head pain are those that keep you hydrated or stabilize blood sugar, said Good Housekeeping Nutrition Director Jacqueline London, MSRD. That's because getting thirsty or hangry, that's hungry and angry, a fact of life given all our obligations, causes a cascade of neurological reactions that leads to an ouchy head. These delicious picks will help keep you pain-free. And here are some healing foods. Cantaloupe. This melon is 90% water and provides the electrolyte magnesium, which can play a role in regulating pain transmission. It's an especially smart pick if you sweat a lot or have been sick with GI issues. Fluid and electrolyte losses may also prompt a headache. Lentils. Fiber-rich foods. Lentils have 8 grams per half cup. Well, that slows digestion, which is good because eating too many fast-digesting carbs from white bread, soda, and other processed foods can cause blood sugar to spike, then crash, which can trigger a head pounder. No crashes, no hunger headaches. And matcha tea. Next time you feel a headache coming, have a matcha latte. Its caffeine will constrict dilated blood vessels, which may play a role in head pain. Matcha tea has more caffeine than other types of green tea, but contains an amino acid that has a calming effect, so it won't make you as jittery. Block nighttime light for daytime health, an eye mask and blackout shades. Even turning a bright digital clock toward the wall could improve your well-being. Perhaps you can sleep with a little light in the bedroom, but making it pitch black may be better for your health, says a preliminary study at Northwestern University. Healthy adults who slept 8 hours in a partially lit room had significantly higher insulin resistance in the morning, researchers found, compared to those who slept just as long in a dark room. Insulin is the hormone your pancreas releases to bring your blood sugar levels down. As you become more insulin resistant, your blood cells have less response to insulin, in effect, leaving you with chronically high glucose levels, which a precursor to type 2 diabetes. Attain bat cave darkness by slipping on a comfy eye mask to block out light, or better yet, invest in a set of blackout curtains made from heavier material than traditional drapes to make sure that not even a sliver of light will get through. Share online to slim down. New advice for anyone trying to drop a few pounds. Try participating in a virtual support community. Reaching out in this way makes it more likely that you'll hit your weight loss goals, according to a study from the University of California, Irvine. The anonymity of social media lets people be vulnerable when sharing their fears, successes, and tribulations when they're pursuing a goal, says the study's co-author, Tanya Williams Bradford. And just in time for Halloween, which is better? Halloween candy. No tricks here. The Good Housekeeping Nutrition Lab's take on the best treats to munch. So here's our some contenders, York Peppermint Patty versus Almond Joy. The winner, Peppermint Patties. Both are under 200 calories per two-piece snack size serving, but the dark chocolate with mint filling feels indulgent without much saturated fat, while the coconut-based filling in the Almond Joy has up to 6 grams. Next contenders, Whoppers versus Pretzel M&Ms. The winner, M&Ms. Both are crunchy and light, but Pretzel M&Ms are only 150 calories for 3 fun-sized bags. 18 malted milk balls are just shy of 200 calories with 7 grams saturated fat. And Snickers versus Three Musketeers. The winner, Snickers. They are satisfying thanks to 3 grams protein from the peanuts in 4 minis. You can have 7 Three Musketeer minis for the same number of calories, but they're higher in sugar and saturated fat. Next up from Redbook, eat these for stronger bones. Your skeleton is your body's biggest support system, but starting in your 30s, it begins to weaken. Give it a little love with these bone mass building foods that help prevent osteoporosis and fractures later in life. First, up your calcium game. Calcium will give you strong bones, kiddo. The advice your mom gave still stands. Your body stores the mineral in your bones, making them thick and strong. This is especially important after age 30, when cells that remove old bone material become more active, and those that deposit new material slack off. Plain low-fat yogurt is packed with strengthening calcium, and it's super versatile. You can top it with sweet crushed fruit or savory veggies. Try this. Mix half cup plain low-fat yogurt with 1 tablespoon pesto. Add a quarter cup cherry tomatoes quartered and a drizzle of olive oil. Season with a pinch of salt and black pepper and serve with celery sticks and carrots. Next, get more magnesium. Half of Americans are low on this mineral, which, like calcium, is stored in bones to keep them sturdy. It also regulates the parathyroid hormone, which controls calcium levels in the body. Increase your intake by eating more magnesium-rich edamame. Yes, the kind you munch on before your California rolls. These little soybeans are also a good source of bone-thickening vitamin K. Try this. Toss half cup cooked shelled edamame with chili flakes, grated ginger, and a squeeze of orange juice. Down some vitamin D. Most folks absorb only about 30% of the calcium they consume. A solution? Pair it with enough vitamin D found in foods like salmon, because that stimulates a protein that gives calcium a piggyback ride into the blood where it can be properly absorbed. No need to eat the two at the same meal. Good to know. Salmon is also rich in omega-3 fatty acids, which may help lower inflammation linked to osteoporosis. Try this. Wrap 2 to 3 ounces smoked salmon around 4 asparagus stalks, trimmed. Drizzle with olive oil and red wine vinegar. Season with black pepper. Try these, too. Other yummy options for bone health, good calcium picks, orange juice fortified with calcium, Parmesan cheese, sardines with bones, and Swiss cheese. Mega magnesium munchies, black beans, cashews, peanuts, and whole wheat bread. And vitamin D-rich foods, eggs, maitake mushrooms, soy milk labeled as fortified, and tuna. And from Real Simple, the big batch, slow cooker black beans. Active time on this is 10 minutes. Total time, 7 hours, 10 minutes. And it makes 6 cups. Here's what you need. 1 pound dried black beans, rinsed and picked over. 1 white onion, halved. 4 cloves garlic, peeled and smashed. 1 dried or fresh bay leaf. And 1.5 teaspoons kosher salt, divided. Place the beans, onion, garlic, bay leaf, 6 cups of water, and 1 teaspoon salt in a 4-to-6 quart slow cooker. Cover and cook until beans are tender but not falling apart, 6 to 7 hours on low or 3 to 4 hours on high. Discard the onion, garlic, and bay leaf. Stir in remaining 1/2 teaspoon salt. To freeze, Let the beans cool to room temperature, transfer to reusable, freezer-safe containers, and cover beans completely with their cooking liquid. Cover and freeze for up to 6 months. Thaw in the microwave or overnight in the refrigerator, and then reheat in a pot on the stovetop over low. And then a serving suggestion, top beans, once you've warmed them up, with crumbled cotija cheese and cilantro. Serve with lime wedges. From Red Book, chorizo stuffed acorn squash. To make, halve and seed 2 medium acorn squash. Brush cut sides with 2 tablespoons olive oil. Place cut side down on a large rimmed baking sheet and roast at 425 degrees for 20 minutes. Combine 1.5 cups cooked quinoa with 4 ounces Spanish chorizo, finely chopped, 1 cup grated manchego cheese, I'm going to spell that, M-A-N-C-H-E-G-O cheese, and a quarter of a cup of mild pickled peppers, drained and finely chopped. Turn squash over, divide quinoa mixture among halves, and roast until squash is tender, about 15 minutes more. Next from Red Book, three smart health moves. Have some OM for breakfast. De-stressing in the morning through meditation, yoga, taking a walk outdoors, or whatever chills you out can help you stay sharp. In a small observational study, adults who reported feeling stressed about the day ahead of them as soon as they woke up performed worse on memory tests later in the day, says author Martin Slewinski, director of Penn State's Center for Healthy Aging. Work out for your gut. We're not just talking about losing a belly. People who are cardiovascularly fit have more of the good intestinal bacteria, essential for healthy regulation of many processes in the body. New research from San Francisco State University shows. Aim to get at least the recommended 150 minutes of physical activity a week. And breathe easier with a flu shot. Yes, the whole family really should get one, especially if you have a kid with asthma. Per new research in the journal Pediatrics, among 1,000 kids who received treatment for an asthma attack, those who also had the flu had a 37% chance of not responding to treatment, compared with just 13% among flu-free children. The CDC recommends that your entire crew be vaccinated by the end of October for the best protection. Also for Halloween, this from Red Book, tell the best scary story. In addition to giving you the weather and playing your favorite Cardi B song, Amazon's Alexa can now also turn you and your kids into the ultimate campfire storytellers. Go to blueprints.amazon.com. Signing into your Amazon account should automatically link your device. And click on Spooky in the Storyteller section. The feature works like Mad Libs, asking for phrases, names, and fun sound effects you can easily drop into a custom spooky tale that Alexa will then read aloud. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.